This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Hey everybody, welcome to Through the Abyss podcast, where you have today Ben and Christina. What's up, Christina?
What's up?
All right, guys, so before we jump into our topic today, I wanted to do one key point because I started looking at more Brian Koberger stuff. And if you didn't listen to our Brian Koberger episode, jump in and listen to that. That was last Sunday's episode. I did see that 7 months before the murders, Brian Koberger did order and purchased a K-bar knife and sheath. So that dude looks hella guilty, right?
Yeah.
And then I did, also, Christina, I looked at some of the videos you were talking about of, like, the police cams of him being pulled over. Super respectful. Yeah. Asks way too many questions. You shouldn't be asking the cops that many questions because they're just going to get annoyed with you and give you a ticket to give you a ticket. But the one I watched, the lady actually did not give him a ticket, surprisingly, because he, like, ran a red light.
Right, they were just messing with him.
Yeah, it was messed up. And, like, the law that she was talking about was weird, right? Because everyone does it, right? Where you go out into the intersection when it's green, and you're waiting for your left turn, and he got caught with it slightly red, like he's coming through. Like, that's happened to every one of us. And she's like, nope, that's a law. You can't be doing that. And she might be right, I don't know, but no one's ever been pulled over for that.
No. They were just messing with them, and they were trying to find reasons to pull him over.
Yes. All right, so Brian Koberger, we've done enough on him. Today we will be looking at multiple people, actually. It started with us looking at Alexei Treviso. Well, let's just get into it. But it's tied into multiple other cases. It's kind of an epidemic. So, Alexei Treviso, a New Mexico teenager admitted to giving birth in a hospital bathroom and hiding the baby in a trash can, where it was later found dead. So that initially sparks the question in me, why would you not seek medical help for your baby if you're in a hospital?
Well, in her defense, she's 19 years old, so clearly she is very immature.
Yeah.
According to her, she had no clue that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And so you're going to the bathroom, and there's a TV show out there called I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant.
Yeah.
So these people go into the bathroom, and they think that they have to make a bowel movement, and they end up giving birth to a baby. So that could have very well been what happened to Alexei, but, like, how she responded afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit much.
Right. I mean, this, and we're going to mention her a little bit later, but this reminded me of an old case from when we were young from actually Ohio, right? Audrey Iacona, who kind of claimed the same kind of stuff. But, like, the difference between her and Audrey Iacona is you've got a scared teenager who gives birth, says she didn't know she was pregnant, like, in her, like, garage or something, right? Like, I forget the details, but we'll jump into it later. But my point is, she's in a hospital. That's a perfect place to figure this out. And if what I saw was right, it said the doctors told her that they did a test on her and she was pregnant, and she said she'd never had sex. So she kind of knew before she went to the bathroom that they think she's pregnant, and I'm going to jump out here on a limb and say she probably also knew she had sex.
Everyone, come on now. Unless he was really, really small.
Right. She's like, I'm not sure what happened. I felt a little tingle. Now I have back pain, right? Because she ends up at the hospital for back pain. But so, like, yes, Alexei Treviso, 19, was charged last week with first-degree murder, or alternatively, abusing a child resulting in death, and tampering with evidence after secretly delivering her baby boy at Artesia General Hospital on January 27th. It's like, man, this must have been the slowest time in the world at the hospital, because hospitals are usually hopping. I don't know how the hell you go into the bathroom in a hospital and have time to give birth with nobody being like, something weird's going on in the bathroom.
Right. Well, I mean, nurses have to take care of multiple patients.
Yeah.
So I could very well see her saying, I have to go to the restroom. She locks herself in the bathroom. She doesn't come out for 20 minutes. That's, I mean, it's expected. Sometimes if you're in the hospital with all those drugs, your bowel movement might take a little bit longer. But then, like, did the baby cry? She said that the baby wasn't crying. She did say that.
Right.
In one of the videos.
Yeah. She, you know what? Like, I was thinking, like, the public bath. It could have been, like, a room attachment bathroom with a lock. That's a good point.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, it can be private, but it's, like, it also has a cord in there.
Yeah.
If you see a baby coming out of you, why didn't you pull the cord?
Right. And if you really didn't know you were pregnant, like, babies, when they come out, like, look, I'm no doctor. I've seen some movies. I, like, try to block this shit out of my mind. But they're like a bloody lump of mess, right? And she says this baby, when it comes out, she says it wasn't breathing at all. She says, I'm sorry it came out of me, and I didn't know what to do. And she says it wasn't breathing anyways, or that type of thing. But my point is, like, I feel like if you didn't know you were pregnant, you wouldn't even really know it was a baby, and you might be like, oh my gosh, nurse, can you come help me? I don't know what just happened. Right?
Right.
If you don't even know you had sex.
That's true. That is very true. But, like, her mom, in all of these videos, which I don't think that she knew she was being taped.
No.
It's kind of like, baby, like, what? Calling her daughter baby.
Yeah.
She seems very sympathetic, and she's, like, a nice mother. But we don't know what happens at home.
Right.
She clearly probably was terrified, but I did hear in something that I was watching this morning that she actually told someone in March. When did she give birth? Oh, she gave birth. No. Yeah, she told someone in March that she actually knew she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you believe?
Right. Yeah, and her mom, like you said, does seem sympathetic and whatnot, but it's like, it's hard to believe that you're in a family that's open and you just feel like there's no way you could tell them that, like, it's the end of the world. It's almost like, I feel like parents, which I'm sure have said, and they think it's for the benefit of their child, if you ever get pregnant, don't even come home, like that type of stuff, right? I don't know right? I don't know that that was said, but this seems like it would have to be that kind of environment for this drastic of an event to occur.
Yeah. I mean, for her to say that she didn't know she was pregnant, like, I know that this TV show came out, and, I mean, most of the women that were on this TV show were visibly a little bit larger in size. So, I could understand how maybe they didn't realize that they were pregnant. And, I mean, I very well could have carried a child and not known that I was pregnant at the same exact time. Because some babies just don't grow that large.
Right.
But this girl is, like, 19. She is not a very big girl. And it's like, I just feel like she would have known.
Right.
Why didn't mom know?
But, and I kind of feel like mom may have, because of a statement that she says in the video that I saw, and right here it says, Lexi, I told you about this. I just asked you, baby, to tell me the truth. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Right? It's like her mom has already confronted her on this. And what you were saying, too, about how sometimes the babies don't grow very big, especially because, like, I feel like it was said that Iacona kind of did this. She was a cheerleader. They start to severely limit their diet, right? Which automatically is going to make the baby not grow very large.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I did see a picture of her, and I mean, yeah, the whole getup. The only picture that I saw, sorry, is the picture of her in her cheerleading uniform or in the hospital.
So Treviso was a cheerleader too. So we got this.
Yeah.
This thing, right, where these cheerleaders are murdering their babies, or yeah, wow. I mean, there's no correlation to that. I'm not trying to speculate. It's just odd, right? And part of that probably is for cheerleading and stuff. They have priorities that don't involve having a baby, right? They want to keep their bodies the way they were.
Yeah, I mean, and cheerleaders can't. And I hate to say this, but this is what I felt in high school. So this is only my opinion. This is not truth or fact, but I felt that most of the cheerleaders were very into their looks. So they were very into wearing all of the makeup. And I mean, there were girls in my grade, I hadn't even started wearing makeup at that point. And like, they have all of the makeup. They're worried about their hair. I'm coming to school in like sweatpants.
Yeah.
And they're coming looking like they're runway models, you know? Barbie.
Right. And I mean, their cheerleading outfits are tight and the skirts are high, right? It's not a thing that's trying to be modest, right? So these are all depressing cases. So apologies for that, people, but this is definitely a public sort of crisis, right? Where this, I was talking to Christina prior to us doing this, where it's like, we've got 4 cases that we're going to look at, but Mandy and I had done a Skylar Richardson episode, right? So she also did this similarly. She also was a cheerleader. And this is kind of a thing that I feel like if you looked it up, you would find just tons of these cases, right? So this is probably just a drop in the bucket of an epidemic. But yeah, that said, so...
That was the worst thing that you could have said.
Why?
A drop in the bucket.
A drop in the bucket. I don't get it. Am I missing something?
Baby in a trash can.
Oh, gotcha. My bad. It was not on purpose. That was an unintentional... Usually I'm pretty punny. This was an unintentional pun.
I thought that's where you were going with it.
Oh, Lord, no. I mean, sometimes I cross lines, obviously, but I do know certain boundaries that I gotta stay within. And dead babies is in that boundary limit. For sure. So those test results. This is in New Mexico, by the way. The only significance of that is so is the second case. So first, I was like, this is like a New Mexico thing, right? But there are other cases. We've got a Minnesota, and then obviously I said Iacona was Ohio. But though tests revealed she was pregnant, as I had said earlier, Treviso denied ever having sex. So doctors actually, you can hear them in one of the videos. If you go down the rabbit hole of this and start looking at all the TikToks and the videos on the YouTube, it's like there's doctor footage where there's this girl saying that she never had sex. So she then allegedly locked herself in the hospital bathroom for quite a while. And when the doctors were finally able to get into her to open the door, they found her cleaning a heavy amount of blood from the floor. Doctors were initially concerned that she had done something to herself in an effort to terminate her pregnancy until one of the nurses discovered the dead full-term baby inside the garbage. She put the baby in the trash can and then another clean liner over the top of it, the doctor said. The baby is dead. She killed the kid. The doctor thinks she actually killed the child.
Well, for us sake, like, she went through some, she had to go through the closet to find stuff to wrap the baby in and to bury it under. So, I mean, I believe that maybe she killed the baby too.
Right. I mean, and, like, if you really thought you never had sex, you would be like, clearly this was a mistake test. But this person immediately locks themselves in the bathroom and then does everything they can to get the baby out of them. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
All of the blood, like,
right.
A backache, come on now.
Right, and if you really didn't think you were pregnant, but the doctors told you were, then you go in the bathroom, and it's some sort of, like, delivery while you're, like you said, trying to take a bowel movement or something like that. At that point, you would start screaming for the nurses and doctors to be like, you guys were right, I think I'm having a baby, right? Baby coming.
I'd be more afraid, not of my parents so much, but just, like, of the fact that I'm, like, in so much pain that I would want to call a nurse or a doctor.
Yeah. Right. And so the doctor goes on to talk about how that she lied to them the whole time and she was never going to tell them she was pregnant, but clearly she knew. New Mexico Office of Medical Investigator later determined that the baby died by homicide. So they, Trevino did murder this baby. Yeah, so this wasn't a baby born not crying. Possibly it was born not crying, because that's why, I don't know if you knew this, Christina, you probably do because you're a woman, so you probably know more about babies than I do, but that's why they smack the baby on the back. It's actually to get it to start crying, because a lot of babies are born, like, not breathing instantly. So
right. But they're also like in this sack of fluids, so they probably, you know what I mean?
Right.
They have it up their nose. That's why you see like the little suckers.
Right. During, like, all of that.
And stuff. They're sucking all of the stuff out of their mouth, out of their nose. So sometimes they don't start crying right away. So I mean, it very well could have happened. But as soon as he hit the trash can, I'm sure that he would have started crying. So she had to have done something.
Right. Now, it doesn't say anywhere that I've seen, anyways, at this point, why they ruled it a homicide, why the coroners thought it was a homicide. But obviously, the medical office determines it's a homicide. They've got good reason. Right. So, yeah, right. So that's a thing. And her mother, what they said, was shocked to learn that her daughter went through these great lengths to hide her pregnancy. But from the earlier statement, like I said, it kind of seems like Mom might have known something. But I think it was more along the lines of, are you pregnant? You seem to be putting on weight. No, Mom, I've never had sex. And, like, a mom's probably going to, unless you've got, like, a rocky relationship, believe your child, I would think.
I completely believe that Mom probably knew. Especially because, I mean, not, like, that age, you start to, like, trust your mom more with different things that you wouldn't have trusted them with when you were, like, 15, 16. Because now you're going out into the world, you're going to tell your mom about, like, your first time ever. I mean, that's how my mom and I were. And so it was just, like, unless they're, like, super religious and she was, like, terrified of her parents, there is no reason why she should have hid any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good point because, like, religion can, like, jump in and, like, people feel judged and they feel like they can't say things. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and think that God actually is going to be more concerned with the life of the baby than you know, not being pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Like, the baby's more important than that at this point, right? So, and I would think. So, her attorney argued that she had no criminal record and should not be facing a murder charge. What do you think about that?
I mean, she murdered someone.
Right. So, what does not having a criminal record mean? That's like saying, okay, like, Koberger. He had no criminal record that we know of, but he killed four people. So should his lawyer be arguing, he has no criminal record, he should not be facing four counts of murder and burglary?
Right, like, this is a first offense.
So. Right. There are certain crimes where first offense is not a thing. Right? It's like, whatever.
Right. I mean, she did get released on the 19th. She, $100,000 bond. She's, okay, so this is the big kicker. She's allowed to attend school and graduation. Would you ever show your face back at school?
Fuck no, and I doubt she'll go. I mean, like, look, she's got to be mortified. One, she's terrified because she's facing jail time. Two, she's got to be mortified. She's not trying to see any of those people ever again.
No, especially who's the baby daddy.
Right.
So that's another person that's involved in this.
She's probably gonna get re-pregnant by the baby daddy while she's out.
I really doubt that they're having sex anytime soon. I think she learned her lesson.
I don't know.
Lesson learned. But she gets to wear an ankle monitor. Oh no, she won't have to. I'm sorry. She will not have to wear an ankle monitor or be under house arrest. So. You're letting her go.
Is she being let go, or is she awaiting trial?
Released on bond.
Okay, so she's awaiting trial, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense.
You don't think that this girl's gonna run away?
I mean, she probably will. Look, if she can't even tell her mother that she's pregnant, she's not trying to stay there after this.
No! Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a mess. Yeah, this is the second high-profile case involving teenagers in New Mexico that are accused of tossing their babies in the trash. The second was one that you actually found, which was the Alexis Avila case. And, yeah, I get that Alexi is the other person's name, so don't be confused. This is a new person. Alexis Avila, 19 years old, was seen on surveillance footage throwing her baby in an outdoor dumpster in 2020. The baby survived after it was discovered hours later by three people that were sifting through the garbage. So dumpster divers saved this baby. So yeah, New Mexico teenager. She was sentenced on Monday to a mandatory 18-year in prison for tossing her newborn son into the dumpster behind a center, but a state district judge cited mental health concerns and the defendant's age in suspending 2 years of the punishment. But that's 2 years, what, of a 18-year sentence, right? So that's still 16 years. That's a whole lot of time.
So, like, suspending it, like, you don't have to go in jail for 2 years? Or suspending it, like, you have to go to jail for 16 years and then you'll get two off?
That's interesting, because it just says suspending 2 years of the punishment. And I was thinking it was, like, taking it off the total. But, like, you could be right that they're going to try to get her mental health situated in the next 2 years and then have her go to punishment. That would make more sense.
That would be a bad idea.
Right. That would make more sense. But yeah. I'm not sure. Because if you're just knocking 2 years off the sentence, I mean, sure, any time is time off. But it's like, there's not a whole lot of difference between 17 years and 19 years.
No, there isn't. Well, and on top of that, it's like, I would want her to be in a better mindset when going to jail.
Yeah.
Because there are some, I mean, there are like brutal murderers in jail compared to, I mean, she was just a dumb kid.
Right. And you don't want to put her into jail if you know beforehand that you're going to have her on suicide watch and give her extra care, right? Like, you would want to take care of that possibility prior. Right? And my guess with the mental health issues, someone that's 19 and about to be put in prison could have suicidal issues, right? Suicidal tendencies.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So the jurors convicted Alexis Avila, 19, child abuse involving great bodily harm following a days-long trial, this was 2 years ago though, in which her public defender argued her actions were not premeditated and that a previously undiagnosed mental health disorder played a role. So apparently the judge agreed with that. Shoebridge, who was the judge, told Avila that had it not been for luck and the grace of God, he would have been deliberating a sentence in a murder case, and there was a high probability the child would have died had it not been found that winter day in Hobbs near the Texas border. Oh, God, it was winter. Lord. So, yeah, I mean, these three people that were rummaging through a dumpster became heroes. That's amazing, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I remember dumpster diving with my friends when we were young. We were never heroes. We found random shit. Like, that's amazing.
The closest thing to dumpster diving that I've ever done is find something on the sidewalk that someone put out.
Yeah. Which is much safer. Like, we were right, all up to the knees in this stuff, right?
Right. It still feels cringy sometimes. Like, oh, I really need this.
Right.
I'm gonna load this into my car.
Right. It's funny how when you're young, you have nothing, so like you think you need everything, and then you get older and you like look around, and look, I'm not a hoarder, it's not like crazy here, but you look around and you see pockets of clutter and you're like, I should start throwing things away, right? Or giving things away. It's like, it's time to get rid of some things.
Oh yeah.
Avila told the judge she wants to learn how to deal with stress and anxiety and said she regrets missing out on her son's first milestones. So her son's alive. This is a question for you. Like, obviously we don't know the answer to this. This is a futuristic, if she gets her shit together, she gets out of jail, any chance in the world anyone ever gives her this child back?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Probably.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, anytime that there's, like, a divorce, the children always go with the mother.
Yeah, no matter what. Like, unless something crazy is happening, like drug abuse or...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the mom pretty much has to be a prostitute, standing on the side of the road, asking for coke, and the cop comes up and...
Right. All those things, and you have to prove them. Like, you can't just be like, look, she's a prostitute. Like, it's gotta be like, you got Johns that are witnesses, and like, yeah, you would have to, like, really make her look bad.
But pretty much all the time, like, most courts are like, no, we want the child with the mother. Now, this might be a little bit different because of the fact that she, like, tried to kill him, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there could have been, like, a basket situation at a church, but she chose a dumpster. So there's all sorts of different questions. But there's also what you go through while you're pregnant. Like, all of the hormones and all of the emotions, I mean, I've heard of, like, people murdering people because of postpartum.
Right. Well, that's another good point. That's another really good point. Like, I'm not sure how quickly the onset is, but, like, you've got definitely, whether it's postpartum directly or not, extreme hormonal shifts from pregnancy and from after giving birth. Like, these aren't just teenagers who are already not fully mentally developed. These are also teenagers who are going through great hormonal shifts. Like, these aren't their normal reactions.
Right. Realize that.
Well, I think this judge did, and I think that's why he took the 2 years off. It's like, I just don't see how 2 years is super significant. Unless, like we were talking about, it's to get her adjusted prior to entering prison.
That would be true. And I mean, because they don't want a situation where she goes in there and commits suicide.
Right. So
she's being watched.
Yeah.
That
would be a good thing, right? And get her regulated and on medication that can help her with her anxiety and any suicidal thoughts. But she's got depression too. So, I mean, I'm not positive she's suicidal, but this is a problem. A lot of antidepressants, one of the side effects is suicidal ideation. And so that would be something they'd have to monitor, but I'm sure they would. And they would take good care of that if that was the case. She does say that she regrets his first hours of life were traumatic, and she regrets he will always have this in the back of his head and will think that I do not love him because that's what he'll read and hear. But that's not true at all. I do love him. I truly do. So she at least shows remorse, says she loves her child. She was arrested on January 2022, and the police said a group of people were looking through the trash bin when they found the baby, tried to keep the boy warm until the police and paramedics arrived. Investigators used surveillance video footage to identify a car suspected of being involved, which led them to Avia. Her public defender, God forgive me on this if I butcher it, Ibukun Adepoju, disputed that Avia made a premeditated attempt to kill her baby. Adepoju said while Avia's actions were wrong, they were the result of her bipolar disorder, that she was disassociated and detached from her feelings. Okay, so they're saying she has bipolar disorder, so that would be a possibility. Now she will be about 34 when she gets out of prison. Adepoju said in a statement after the sentencing, "We're trying to work with the prison to make sure she has access to therapy and education while incarcerated so that when she gets out, she can have a meaningful life." So her public defender sounds like, you know, he's trying to do all the right things, because this is a person, like we said, she's got major hormonal things occurring. She's got a mental disorder. So those combined, she's not thinking correctly. She's expressed remorse. Her child is alive, thank God, right? Like, no credit to her, but the child's alive. And yeah, I think that in this case, I mean, not that I don't want everyone to have a meaningful life, but in this case especially, you're looking at someone who probably should be educated, medicated, and hopefully when they get out, have all the tools they need to have a meaningful life. So I agree with that.
No, I agree too. I don't know, wouldn't the child be a trigger for her? If she is bipolar and she knows what she did, wouldn't that be a trigger for you to be around your child 24 hours a day and remember what you did and your I've only heard recently about like triggers for bipolar, or what's the other one, like a personality disorder?
Borderline. It's most closely associated to, or kind of similar to, bipolar disorder in the symptomology, borderline personality disorder.
Yeah, because I have been hearing more recently that when something triggers someone, that's when they react.
Yeah, and that's true with basic anger and PTSD and and all kinds of anxiety issues. And one of the things she had asked the judge for help with was her anxiety. So we know she's got anxiety issues too,
right?
Which aren't necessarily from bipolar disorder. They could be, but it could also be a comorbidity with like some sort of anxiety disorder. So like general anxiety disorder or something to that extent.
Yeah, I fear that getting her out, because I mean, for example, like holidays are sometimes a trigger for people because of something that happened on the holiday. So right. Here you are giving a child back to a woman that pretty much left him for dead.
Yeah. I do want to point out that if she serves the whole 17 years, this child will almost be an adult at that point. But I would imagine that that's like the maximum and that she's going to get out after a few years. So this probably will be a child, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But still, I don't know. I just think that that would cause more upset than not.
The child's going to have issues too, whether... I mean, it's a baby, so they probably remember nothing. But they are going to hear about this kind of stuff. And no matter how good your relationship is, unless you have the most airtight, solid esteem, like this child has been raised perfect.
Right.
I feel like you're going to be like, even though I'm close to mom, mom tried to kill me and didn't love me. Right? Like, that would be, right? So that would be hard, for sure.
Oh, very hard.
Yeah.
So the Avila case actually spurred conversations in New Mexico communities and among the legislation about the state's safe haven law, which allows parents to leave a baby younger than 90 days in a safe location without criminal consequences. Such laws have begun to be passed in legislators in 2000 in response to reports of baby killings and abandonments. So my guess is that this spurned the debate based on whether or not this was a safe location. I think just the fact that it's winter, even if it's not super cold that day, like overnight, if it's getting down to like 50 even, right? Like a baby in a trash can by itself seems like a dangerous situation to me.
Well, I mean, anyone in the trash can is a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
100%. A baby who is helpless cannot crawl, move, whatever. That's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Beyond dangerous. That escalates very quickly.
I feel like leaving a baby in a safe location for 90 days means I put it on my neighbor's doorstep and I know it's been taken in. Or I dropped it off at the police department. I don't feel like it's leave it in any place by itself.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, why wasn't this a basket in a church situation?
Yeah.
Why did it go straight to a trash can?
Yeah, I don't know. But New Mexico lawmakers in 2022 approved a bill to expand the state's safe haven program and provide funds to build one baby box for every county where an infant can be left. So they're going to have an actual specific location where you leave your baby. And that sounds like, I mean, that's good, and I see why. But now I feel like the people who were on the fringe but didn't ditch their babies, now they're like, ooh, now I have a place to leave my baby.
Right.
Right? Now all of a sudden there's hella babies in this box.
Right, but here's the thing, okay, so is this box going to be videotaped?
I mean, I'm sure it's got to be monitored, like, all day, every day. It would have to be, right?
Right, yeah. So it's like, so there goes their privacy. You know, if they're like, here's a safe place to take your baby if you don't want your baby.
Right.
And you just drop it off in this box, but if they don't want to be seen... Like, what do you do in that circumstance?
Yeah.
You know, I wonder on the Alexi case, the one we discussed first, like, why she even went to the hospital? Because I guess she went there for back pain. She says she didn't know she was pregnant. But in my mind, it's like, you're a liar. You knew that you were pregnant. You know they're going to discover this. And clearly your back pain's probably associated with the child. So if you're going to do all this shit, why did you go there?
That's a very good question.
Right? Like, why did you put yourself in the eye of the people you're hiding from?
Right. Do you actually think that maybe she was nervous?
Yeah.
And so she, like... Because, I mean, she literally could have died giving birth.
Right.
You know? I mean,
Yeah, maybe she thought her health was in danger because she's never had a child before. And it, clearly we would guess, right, that if she's having these pains, she's actually going into labor, which is why she has a child in the bathroom, right? Like, these are labor pains. She thinks she's dying, so she goes to the hospital, right? You're probably right. She thought something was wrong.
Yeah. She didn't think that it was just back pain. She thought that she was, like, in trouble.
Yeah.
Not, like, physically. Not emotionally or mentally or from her parents. Well, and I mean, she went to the hospital alone, so that was another thing.
Oh, I heard that her mom went with her. Her mom showed up later?
Yeah.
Okay. Avia's sentencing, though, came just days after a Minnesota woman admitted to leaving her newborn son to die near the Mississippi River 2 decades ago and was sentenced to 27 years. Yeah! So, and that is Jennifer Matter. She was sentenced, and this was recently, she was sentenced just months after Avia because she admitted to doing this. But she did this decades ago. So she admitted leaving her son to die near the Mississippi River 2 decades ago, and she has been sentenced to 27 years. Jennifer Matter of Belvedere Township outside Red Wing was sentenced Friday for second-degree murder, CBS Minnesota reported. That's weird that it was second-degree murder, and I wonder if it just has something to do with because she came forward on her own. Because if you said, I left my child to die, then that's first-degree murder, right? Like, that was her intent.
Right. But here's my thing. It's like, when's the statute of limitations on this? It was 20 years ago, and she turned herself in.
Yeah.
No one said anything to her, so she clearly just felt very, very guilty. But...
Yeah. I think on murder and things, it's like 25 years, and that was 20, right?
Yeah. Actually, I don't think she came forward. Because it says that she was not arrested until May of 22 after DNA evidence.
Oh. Okay, so when I say she admitted to leaving her newborn son, it's not like she came forward with it. She just admitted that it occurred after they already caught her.
Right, so that's where I'm like, because at first I'm like, she came forward, that had to have been like really, really hard.
Yeah.
And then they're going to throw the book at her, but no.
Yeah, I mean, she had to have a good lawyer and made a good plea deal because this should have been first-degree murder, I feel like. But it was premeditated. She intended to kill the baby. She intended for the baby to die.
Right.
So, yeah, she was arrested after the DNA evidence, as you said. Genetic genealogy and rapid DNA testing were both employed to develop a break in the case and then quickly confirm the identity of the baby's mother. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension Superintendent Drew Evans said after Matter was arrested. These kinds of scientific advances that can aid investigations are happening all the time. That is why it's important to never give up on an unsolved case. This chick had to have thought that was just some deep, dark secret in the closet that was over with, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's going to be like, what the fuck?
I mean, wouldn't you have...
I mean, yeah, I mean...
Oh my gosh, I ran over a squirrel in 2020. Now it's 2042.
It's weird. It's like, and I'm not trying to not be sympathetic. I mean, you commit a crime, you should have to do some sort of time or some sort of punishment. But, like, it feels sort of like after 20 years, no matter what it was, the police should just knock on your door and be like, we know what you did and we're going to watch you, so don't do shit again, right? Like it's weird that...
You need to read the next sentence, though.
Prosecutors have said the DNA evidence also links Matter to a baby girl found dead by the Mississippi in 1999, but she has not been charged in that case. She's leaving her babies everywhere?
Right.
What the hell?
Oh my God, Jennifer Matter. Bad.
Yeah, Jennifer, take away what I said. The police should not knock on your door and say, don't do it again. This chick needs to go to jail forever. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, this, like, Christina, I get it that we've all made irresponsible decisions in our lives, right? We've all been a little unsafe when we're doing things throughout our teens and whatever. And we've escaped by the grace of God that, like, we didn't have pregnancy issues, things like, whatever. But my whole point is this. If you've already left one child to die by the Mississippi River, why are you not protecting yourself during sexual encounters after that?
Oh my God, I don't know. And it's like, how old was she when she did it? Does it say? I'm like trying to find some more information on her. So like, How old is she today? I need to know, like...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you figure she's got to be at least 18 when she has the baby, and then she gets caught 20 years later, so she's probably pushing 40.
Hey.
Right?
Oh,
so.
My goodness. Ew. And somebody, like... Sorry, I didn't mean to say ew. Somebody, like, drew a picture of what her child might have looked like.
When I said she admitted to leaving her son to die, I guess I kind of, like, just misinterpreted that, because I'm thinking that means her intent was for the child to die. So now I see how it's second-degree murder. She did tell them that she hoped that someone would find the baby boy alive after she left him. Like, look, though. Like, baby boy and baby girl now at this point. If you want someone to find your child and take care of them because you just don't feel like you can take care of them, is leaving them beside the Mississippi River, like, your first thought?
Right, like, what do you want by the Mississippi River? A fisherman?
Yeah. And I guess it's kind of a vague statement. I'm sure there's areas of the Mississippi River that are, like, by, like, the local store or by a highway. But in my mind, I see, like, in the middle of the woods by a river.
But, okay, so it was in December.
Oh, Lord.
Also.
Yeah.
So, like, there aren't too many people by the river in December.
No. No. And look, to make this worse, December, look at where she's from. Fucking Minnesota, which is known for, like, 8 feet of snow. Like, this is not good. This is not Florida. This is not by the river in Florida. This is the middle of the winter in one of the coldest places in America.
By a river,
where automatically I can say, like, living by the water here in Alameda, it's hella colder than the rest of the bay, like, when you're by the water.
I can't even imagine this person.
This is the most fucked up shit. And it's the second child by the river. I don't know, like, at what time of year she left the baby girl, but the baby boy she leaves by a fucking river. In the middle of winter in fucking Minnesota. That's insane. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ah. So teenagers found the body on December 7th, 2003, in Frontenac on the shore of Lake Pepin, a body of water on the Mississippi. It's right by a lake and a river, right? So it's like, this is the coldest place in the world right now when this baby's left there. Like, just, like, take it out and sit it on the ice. I don't know. So, yeah, in 2021 in Minnesota, BCA Crime Lab was able to determine and identify the biological father of the infant found in 1999 and worked to establish that Matter was a person of interest. Investigators interviewed her in late April, and she denied knowing anything about either case. When they sampled her DNA sample on a search warrant, she again denied knowing about either baby. On a third interview she's like, nope, wasn't me. It wasn't me. On a third interview with investigators, Matter told them that back in 1999, she was in and out of jail, drinking too much, doing a lot of stupid things, and that she didn't know she was pregnant until she started bleeding while on the way to drop off two other kids at school and daycare. How many kids does this woman have, Lord? Oh, God. How many kids, Christy? We're up to four. We're up to four children. And two of them she's taking to school and daycare. Why did they get... Why are they not by a river? Like,
why are they lucky?
Yeah, why am I not advocating to hurt the other two kids. I'm advocating to, like, why are two okay? And my guess is time of life and who the father was and all that shit, right? Good Lord.
Right. So the first one, the baby girl, was when she was 20.
Okay.
And then the baby boy was when she was 24.
So she's 40-something when she gets arrested for these crimes when she was 20-something, which, like... Yeah, she thought that shit was over and done.
Oh, so she got arrested when she was 20?
They said 2 decades after the baby was found. So if she was 20 then, yeah, she'd be 40.
Oh, okay. Then they let her go?
No, I'm saying she was...
Because she's 50.
Oh, she's 50 now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this she was arrested. This case isn't current, right? So, it was 2022 when she was arrested.
Yeah.
She's 50 now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'm not mathing good today.
You're not. Use a calculator.
I got to get the calculator out for this woman. I'm still not sure even how many kids she has. I got to calculate that number too. Like, I'm like at 4 right now. Yeah, we need to know. The public needs to know how many children Jennifer Matter has. So she said she then gave birth at home in her bathroom, freaked out when she saw the newborn baby was blue, not breathing, and was not crying. Everyone's got the not crying, but that's like a known fact. The baby's born not crying. They smack them on the back. Like you said, the snot and shit gets out of their mouths and noses, and then they start to breathe and cough. Like, I feel like everyone knows that. Is that not a thing?
I mean, it's in movies, it's
right.
in TV shows, so I feel like, I mean, if you've never had a baby, you still kind of get the gist.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I would think.
She wrapped the baby and possibly a day later left the baby's body at Bay Point Park in the middle of the night. She told investigators she didn't remember a second baby. Oh.
Oh my goodness.
And later said it was in Frontenac. So she said she didn't remember a second baby. Then she said where the baby was left. And she said she was almost positive she was at a public beach alone when she went into labor. She was trying to lay low because she had an arrest warrant and believed cops were looking for her. She said she didn't remember if the baby was crying, but said it was breathing fine. So the second baby, she's like, I don't even remember that baby. Then she's like, nah, just kidding. I was on a beach, worried the cops were trying to find me, left it there alone. It was breathing fine. So that baby should be okay. Keep in mind, the second baby is the one that we've discussed, was the December. So it's breathing fine in the middle of this pile of snow.
I can't do that.
No.
It looks like she's had five babies.
We've just increased in babies.
Right. Three of them are living, supposedly. But we're not sure.
Damn.
Okay, so this lady gets arrested, and she's 50-something, right? Like, if she gets out of prison, any way she's ever seen these kids again.
Right.
If I was one of the kids, the answer would be no. I would be yeah. I don't have a mom.
Or you feel special because she chose to keep you.
Oh my god. No, dude.
Sorry.
No.
That was bad.
I mean, no. I mean, like, if that, I maybe. But, like, that's fucked up. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, she let, yeah.
Imagine being married to this woman and all of a sudden, like, all of this stuff comes out.
Yeah. It would be, I mean, that would be the end of our relationship, I would hope, right?
Oh, yeah? You would want a divorce? That's
yeah, weird. It does say that she did hope that someone in a nearby house would find the baby. So you know what you do if you want someone in a nearby house to find a baby? I saw this on Alvin and the Chipmunks, is how they got to Dave's house. You put them in a basket, like you said, you put them on their porch, and then you ding-dong ditch, right?
Right.
And you make sure that you see them go into the house, you know they're there. Before you ding-dong ditch. You don't just leave them at, like, an empty house in the middle of winter. And you definitely don't leave them on a public beach where you said already that you were by yourself, so you know there's no one there to find the baby, and it's fucking hella cold.
Oh, my God. I mean, December!
December. All right, so all of these cases really sparked my thoughts of a case that I wanted to do, like, a long time ago. We just never have gotten around to it. And it ties right on in here, and we kind of mentioned her a couple times, but... Do you remember Audrey Iacona?
I remember the name, but I do not remember now. Sorry.
Audrey Iacona was like a hometown person for she was like Legends, so Medina, right? Not too far from where we grew up, Christina and I. She was a former cheerleader, and she held her hands and sobbed as a jury convicted her of involuntary manslaughter Friday, the death of the baby she secretly delivered in her basement. A judge sentenced Audrey Iacona at 17 to 8 years in prison for the death of her unnamed boy, who police found wrapped in a towel and placed inside two plastic bags hours after it was born last May. So yeah, she wraps it in towels, puts it in a plastic bag. So if it was alive at any point, you're not going to live very long in the plastic bag with towels all around you.
No!
So, worst thing you could do to a newborn baby, just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Medina County...
That's why they have warnings on plastic bags.
Right. Good lord. Yeah, I mean, adults die from plastic bags on their heads.
Right.
So, the Medina Common Pleas Court jury could not reach a verdict on murder charge against Audrey. Seven members of the panel wanted a conviction, while five voted for acquittal. So they did. Some of them did try to acquit Audrey Iacona. My guess is because you've got a 17-year-old young crying, says she had no idea she was pregnant. She actually was tiny, so you could kind of feasibly see that as a possibility. Okay. But I think they just gave sympathy to her because she was like this young, cute cheerleader chick, right? So prosecutor Dean Holman said that so long as Frye's convictions are upheld on appeal, he will likely not seek a retrial for Audrey for the murder charge, right? So instead, she's found guilty of endangering a child and abuse of a corpse. So in the wrenching scene, her mother, Angela, and other relatives wailed and shrieked when the jury announced its verdict. And again, minutes later, as the judge, Kimber, sentenced Miss Iacona. "Oh, Audrey, so unfair," her mother cried out at one point. How is it unfair? Like, they were looking for first-degree murder, and then they decided not to press the issue on it and let you have manslaughter. Like, that's a break, right?
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, it's like, she's not going to have to live her whole entire life in jail.
Right.
It's like, I mean, she killed a baby in her basement.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, she got a slap in the wrist for this, assuming that she did know the baby was a lot. Well, I mean, even if she didn't, right? Like, definitely abusive, of course, and all that. It's just like, what's the right thing to do if your baby's born dead? Go, Christina.
Call 911.
Amen, right? You call the people that could possibly revive the baby. And even if they can't revive the baby, at least, like, as heart-wrenching as that would be for a mother, at least you know that they know that you made every attempt for this baby to be okay.
Right.
Right?
Like, why are you trying to hide this baby?
Right.
Oh my god, this is making me physically ill.
Right. Like I said,
babies are found in dumpsters.
That's the thing, like I said, like, not to go back to the drop in a bucket, but it's like, I bet you we could find, we'll try to get you the number for next week, how many babies, like, in a year are just left. Because I bet it's huge.
Babies are left or killed.
Abandoned. Or killed. Killed or abandoned. She gets 10 years in prison for the manslaughter, and the judge says he feels comfortable with that. There's no reason for this child to die. During her sentencing, Kimber told Audrey, "There are thousands of couples in Ohio," which is something you and I had discussed a little bit, so we'll go into that a little bit here, "that would have adopted the child," triggering shouts from the families. The family's just pissed off that she's getting anything. I don't know if it's just that they unconditionally believed her, or if they're just like, we want our daughter, we don't care what she did. But, like, we kind of had discussed, there's a lot of people who can't have children, a lot of people who are spending years trying to adopt children. Like,
right.
I get that these are children themselves who aren't thinking well and whatever, but it's like, what a tragedy that all these babies are just being, like, basically murdered when there's people who want babies.
And, I mean, there's nothing, like, we can't say that there is nothing to be said about mental health. And I do believe in some circumstances that hormones take control of a situation. Just because, I mean, I've felt it before, like, not to the point where I wanted to murder someone, but, like, these hormones just take over.
Yeah.
And then, so if you're young and you're starting to get hormones, pretty much, I mean, when you're 19, it's been about 4 years, but, like, you have these hormones that you are not able to control, and then on top of that, like, depression, and then you're actually pregnant, which, like, pregnancy comes with a type of, like, depression and uncomfortableness and all of the emotions. You can't sleep, you can't, like, eat most of the time. So it's like, all of these things is why they came up with that show called Snap.
Right, yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's like, okay, you're a happy-go-lucky person one day, and then all of a sudden you're murdering babies. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Hormones are the devil.
Yeah, it's definitely, and like we had discussed too, like, pregnancy automatically is going to mess with your hormones. And then there is postpartum depression issues, right? So it's like the hormones are wackadoodle at this point, right? For even normal mothers that do well with their children, they still go through hormonal things, right, that are challenging.
Yeah.
The prosecution tried to portray her as an uncaring youth who smothered her baby that she didn't even want to bother to care for. she did tell several of her friends she was pregnant, so Audrey wasn't, she was only lying to her family. So she knew she was pregnant, and her, right, so she knew. And her defense argued that the baby was born dead. Audrey didn't testify, but she said she was afraid about her parents knowing about her pregnancy, partly because she had undergone an abortion earlier. Yeah, so she had a previous abortion not too long prior to that, so that's what made, right. And so, like, she says the baby's born dead, but we kind of already covered that, so the right thing to do is then you call 911, right? You say, I just had a baby, it was born dead, I need you to come here, and they know that you made every attempt. They can tell forensically how long between the call and the birth, and they know that you acted right away and that you tried everything you could, and you don't have your baby in a trash bag, right? Your baby is on a bed or somewhere, you know, something reasonable, and then you don't go to prison, right?
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay, so like, you want to talk about a freaking rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Looking for Audrey Iacona, just like a picture of her or mm-hmm. whatever, and another one comes up from Ohio. And this is the one that you're going to be like, okay, she knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Murder trial is set for Ohio cheerleader charged with bashing in her newborn daughter's skull,
oh, Lord.
Burying her in the yard.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, I don't know.
And this is the third, not to bring it up again, sorry cheerleaders, this is the third cheerleader in these stories.
Right.
So at that point, you've kind of got to psychologically start to look at what we were discussing earlier that you had brought up about the pressures of looking and being a certain way as a cheerleader, right? And having a baby just doesn't fall into that.
So, I couldn't even get a name. I didn't even see a name. It just said cheerleader. I guarantee that if you Google cheerleaders
who gave birth, it's probably a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, cheerleaders who ditched their babies or killed their babies after. Yeah. I mean, it's probably a thing. At this point, we've looked at five cases with the one you just brought up, and three of the five were cheerleaders. And the other two, I just am not sure if they were cheerleaders or not. We haven't even looked into that, right? Just we know for sure three right. out of five.
Well, I do want to say this, and there is a better way, and there's a National Safe Haven Crisis Line, which is 1-866-99-BABY-1, and they actually are the ones that offer a safe haven baby box. So if you do not want your baby and you are out there thinking of, like, how to hide it from your family or this, that, and the other, please think about contacting Safe Haven.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the reason Audrey was found by the police is because she did tell one friend who was smart enough to then tell the police that this occurred. Thank goodness. The defense lawyer, Richard Marco, said he would appeal. She is a girl who is not a danger to society. I mean, I agree. She's probably not a danger to society, but she also did something horrific. So what do you do? Right? And she pretty much got a slap on the wrist, like we said, because even though she was sentenced to 10 years, she was released from prison December 21st, 2001, after spending just 2 years in the Medina County Jail. So she's only spent 2 years in jail for... possibly, I say possibly because she always claimed that baby was born dead, but like murdering her child. So I think that's very light sentence. How do you feel about that?
I feel like Ohio doesn't really know how to sentence people, or we just have way too many criminals over here. So we're just kind of like, you know what? Slap on the wrist. We'll just give you 2 years.
Yeah, I think across the country, because people always are like, here in California, like, oh, you're from Ohio. You don't know about this. And it's like, you don't even understand. There were like three triple homicides in my home city when I left Canton. Like,
right.
It's bad there. Hey, there's,
it's not the best.
No, there's bad things there. In Cincinnati, people get shot daily. Like, it's bad there.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, Ohio is like, I want to say fourth or fifth in sex trafficking. Like, the highest number of sex trafficking. And
wow.
Do you remember Okay, so there's this area in Golden Village where there's like a Bob Evans and a Red Roof Inn and Joanne's Fabric.
Yeah.
Okay, and Chick-fil-A and like all these other places. Ruby Tuesdays used to be there.
Yeah, used to love it there.
That Red Roof Inn is where they take the kids for sex trafficking.
Wow.
And I mean, there was like a huge bust not too long ago, and it had to do with like government officials and teachers and pastors and all of this other stuff.
Like they were all involved in helping to get these kids to these people?
No. They were involved in sleeping with the children.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, Jason and I are actually like a part of Safe Harbor, and that's how I found out all of this stuff. It's sick what is happening in Canton. You can't really even go to the mall without making sure that somebody isn't like zip tying your car and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know.
The thing with Canton is, right, I feel like when Timken Company like took its plant out, right, and just had the headquarters there, and the Hoover Company shut down, all of a sudden you had so many people that like couldn't become employed, and it just went insane.
Yeah, they just started doing other shady shit, and then it's like, I mean, drugs are a dime a dozen around here. You can get them anywhere, you know, if you know the right person.
And there's definitely like southeast areas where you would not go at night.
Oh yeah. 100%. You just have to be safe. Like, you have to have your surroundings. You have to know everything about everything. Like, there are times that I will, like, jump into my car if I'm, like, in a bad place. Just because I'm like, all right, there might be somebody under my car, but you never know.
Yeah.
It's creepy around here anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah, the world's getting scary. So, Christina, do you have any thoughts on any of these cases or the overall... I mean, they're pretty much all the same case when it comes down to it, right? There's just this massive trend of these young women who are afraid to tell anyone they're pregnant, and instead of doing the right thing and letting people know or using the safe haven type of thing where they're at least making sure the baby's okay, they're doing all the wrong things.
Right, and I mean, I understand that people are afraid of what their parents will think or what will happen to their life, but stealing somebody else's life is never the right answer.
Yeah.
And what these women did is they stole a life from a child that could have been a normal life had they been adopted or given to a relative or whatever, and now, like, that one boy that survived, he's always gonna have in the back of his mind that his mom tried to kill him.
Right.
So it's like, with all of that comes depression and anxiety and all of the mental health issues that could happen had these women not just been like, you know what, I'm gonna put you up for adoption. You know,
right.
Tell your parent. Don't be afraid to tell someone.
No, and I promise any teenagers listening that no matter what your parents have said about disowning you or this or that, when push comes to shove, they would much rather help you in the process of either getting your child adopted or even caring for your child than have you go to prison for murdering your child or manslaughter or abuse of a corpse or any of that, right? So most families are going to be more supportive than you would think.
Yes, 100%. So stop killing babies.
Yes, no baby killing. All right, thank you, Pod People, for joining us and looking at these cases with us. We thank you as always. Thank you, Christina, for helping me with this episode.
Yep, thanks for having me.
And as always, you can find us on ThroughTheAbyssPodcast.com and every platform of podcast. And thank you. Keep it real, Pod People. Spooky stuff.